This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachel. Special counsel Robert Mueller gave his first public statement on the report into Russian interference, said charging Donald Trump with a crime was not an option for his office. Statement increases the pressure on House Democrats over whether or not to pursue impeachment. And Donald Trump fixates on 2020 presidential candidate Joe Biden. Is the attention strengthening the Biden campaign? Plus, new information shows how a recently deceased Republican strategist pushed to get a citizenship question on the 2020 census. Here to talk about that and more, Ken Rudin, the political junkie. Hello, Ken.
Hello, Frank. Another week of good news, good and fun news.
It's a lot of fun. You know, the Democrats, a two-year investigation. Man, when this comes out, we're going to get, and the two-year investigation comes out. He said, what does this report say? So then they say, okay, well, wait a minute. Mueller's going to make a statement. He's going to clarify the whole thing. He's going to finally, and then he makes a statement, and the Democrats are going, what happened there?
Well, you know something, I think Mueller, what he said on Wednesday was more definitive than many people thought. I mean, he didn't say, yes, we should do this, or no, we should not do this. But I think the stuff he didn't say, and he's such a lawyerly, you know, a government official who does not like to be dragged into political discussions and the limelight for sure. But what he seemed to say was, I've done everything I can do. The laws keep me from indicting a sitting president, but the Constitution allows some things to happen as well. And the message a lot of people got was, the Constitution also means that it's up to Congress to take the next step.
That's right. And that's what really makes it interesting. Now, that puts the pressure on Democrats to make a decision to impeach or not. And apparently the pressure is growing to impeach.
That
at least among Democrats.
I'm sorry?
At least among Democrats.
Well, exactly. I mean, I can count on one finger the number of Republicans right. who have come out for impeachment, and that's one. And that's Justin Amash, the Republican from Michigan. Nobody else in the House or Senate on the Republican side have come to that conclusion. But the number among the Democrats is now up to either 40 or 45, and that's much more than it was like a week or two ago. And it's probably going to be much, perhaps even doubled by the next week or two. And that's putting tremendous pressure on Nancy Pelosi, because for the longest time, she said it's premature to talk about impeachment. He's not worth the trouble. And also, for the most part, one of the reasons the Democrats are in the majority in the House from all those Democrats who won in swing or conservative districts in 2018. And many of those Democrats say, no, impeachment is not what our constituents are talking about.
Well, that's really it. It's a political question. So talk about what's at stake here, yes or no, for the Democrats. If they go ahead with impeachment, obviously, Mueller made it clear there is indictable material here. I couldn't clear him. Therefore, an investigation is warranted. And you're the investigating body. So he's essentially saying you need to impeach this guy. On the other hand, what's the cost for the Democrats if they go ahead and do it?
Well, look at what Nancy Pelosi has changed as well. You know, she, for the longest time, she wasn't talking about it. Last week, she said, well, you know something? Trump is obstructing justice. He's engaged in a cover-up, and that could be an impeachable offense. Now, most of the Democrats are nervous because they know that, one, the Republican Senate will never convict Donald Trump and throw him out of office, just like the Republican Senate didn't even do it with Bill Clinton, and you had a Republican Senate back then. But the best they can get there was 55-45 and not a two-thirds majority to remove him from office. And Pelosi's also nervous that if he's absolved by the Senate, Trump will walk around the country and claim victory and say, I was absolved, and it's a witch hunt for the Democrats. But at the same time, there's a growing number of Democrats who said, look, forget about what the House is doing, what the Senate is doing. We have an obligation to follow the law. And if there's clear indication that the president is breaking the law, that's a big if. But if there is an indication, we have no choice but to open up, at the minimum, an impeachment inquiry.
Well, the other thing is, politically, you have to look at what this means to your base and not what it means to the general election. And if the reason Donald Trump is in office today, not having won a majority in 2016, is because a lot of Democrats sat out the election, You don't want that to happen in 2020. And saying my hands are tied as a Democrat could send a message to Democratic voters. Hey, look, this whole thing is pointless. On the other hand, if you have an impeachment hearing, it might charge things up and keep people motivated into 2020.
Exactly.
Isn't that that seems to be part of the equation here.
And the presidential field is split on that as well, because even after Mueller's report announcement on Wednesday, two more presidential candidates, I guess it was Cory Booker, and I think Pete Buttigieg as well, both said, okay, it's time to have an impeachment inquiry. And Joe Biden has said, well, I'm still sticking with Nancy Pelosi. Not yet, but of course it could lead to it. So as much as the country is split, the Democratic Party is split as well. And that's why a lot of people think that the president is goading the Democrats, goading Nancy Pelosi into starting an impeachment inquiry, knowing it would fail, certainly in the Senate. But there are Democrats who are saying, look, forget the political implications. We have to do the right thing.
G.K. Butterfield, Democrat of North Carolina, calling for impeachment. Mark Meadows, a Republican of North Carolina, says, hey, come on, man, this investigation's over. Can we move on?
Well, that's exactly what Congress is saying. Butterfield also, who happens to be African-American, there's an article on the front page of the New York Times today that says basically that more and more African-American members of Congress, you know, mostly Democrats, are saying, why is Donald Trump still in office? Why aren't we taking action? And, of course, Mark Meadows and other Republicans, as they said, everyone except Justin Amash, are saying this is old news, case closed. So that's exactly the split you just referenced in the North Carolina delegation is exactly what's going on in Congress today.
Well, another big issue in the election could be the economy. Right now, things are moving along smoothly, but those tariffs are beginning to take their toll on the American economy. Another big front page article in The New York Times takes a look at the bond market, which is sending ominous signals about a potential recession in part caused by Trump's tariffs. And now he's talking about new tariffs on Mexico.
And not first of all, and if we're still at loggerheads with China, Mexico has become the United States' biggest trading partner. So to punish our best trading partner, especially as while the president is trying to organize it's not NAFTA anymore. It's the USMCA. Isn't that dance when you move your arms around?
That's hokey pokey.
But that's what the president wants to do. And if you're going to alienate Mexico and anger Mexicans with more tariffs, plus the fact that Republicans are not happy with this either. Republicans are not the party of tariffs. Chuck Grassley, who's the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, said basically you can't abuse the presidential tariff authority by trying to make a political point. This is self-defeating, and I think that as prices rise from goods coming in from Mexico, the American people will feel the same way.
No, and apparently the president is going to employ a good old dose of socialism by transferring wealth from the Treasury to farmers who are hurt by this because they're also his voting bloc, and he's just going to give them the money, and I think that's a socialism that maybe those farmers will accept.
Isn't that something? The tariff policy is a great policy, but by the way, these farmers are really taking a beating, and so we'll give them more money.
So there, that we'll excuse the socialism there.
Amazing.
Hey, let's change gears a minute. I want to talk about the citizenship question on the 2020 census, because now we've got information that the citizenship question on the 2020 census, controversial, was actually pushed by a leading Republican strategist, now deceased, who is the architect of modern precision gerrymandering. And the details of the communiques suggest that this is precisely to suppress the vote. That's why we should put this on the census as well as gerrymandering. Wow.
This is big news, especially in North Carolina, because that has always been ground zero for redistricting wars, but around the country too, because basically the Republicans and the administration have been saying that we are adding, for the first time in history, by the way, we are adding a question on the census about American citizenship because we want to make sure that everybody's represented and it's great for democracy. But it's clear from these unearthed memos that the goal was to limit black and especially Latino people from registering with the census, which, of course, there are fewer Latino members of Congress. I mean, I'm sorry, fewer Latino citizens. you count fewer people who might vote Democratic and more who vote Republican. And that's all with the design of the 2020 census and the 2021 redistricting. So it is, I mean, we've always thought it was political, even though the Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross seemed clueless about this. And yet it's clear that the Republicans have been trying to do this, to use this question to limit and to discourage minority participation in the census, which will help the Republicans. And if the Supreme Court doesn't see that, my goodness, I'm going to run for the Supreme Court.
Now we've got the memo that shows it is voter suppression and not anything else, although the Republicans will say it's legal. Let's move on. Doctored videos of Nancy Pelosi raising all kinds of questions about social media. Is it Facebook's fault? Is it our fault for being too stupid to recognize this is a doctored? Who knows? But anyway, it's a remarkable story, is it not?
It is. I mean, look, we've seen this throughout history about doctored videos. And, you know, there's always, you know, I mean, we see that in the Soviet Union when people would be standing next to Stalin and suddenly after they were executed, suddenly missing from that picture. But that's what they do on social media now. They just doctor it to make, you know, Nancy Pelosi, for example, sound like either she's drunk or incapable of completing a sentence, just like the way I was just now. But the fact is that it's not only YouTube Facebook, I should say, that's continuing this. Fox News is putting it out constantly, and the president and his supporters, Rudy Giuliani, are retweeting it. So, I mean, I don't know who to blame, but it's just part of the ugliness of American politics.
Ken Rudin, who keeps us apprised of all of that, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Ken, thank you so much.
They call me Mr. Ugly. Thank you, Frank.
And they also call him the political junkie, and you can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. How digital activism favors conservatives. We'll talk about that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.